Hey guys, we just want to let you know we kind of ran out of time on this episode. It's so much to talk about that what we've done is we have continued the conversation, but we've placed it on our website at whereweland.org. So if you want to continue with some extra content from our discussion today, be sure to go to the website and listen to the complete recording.
I think I just need to clarify a bit of what I agree with, because it can get a little muddy when you talk about all the mode and the method and stuff.
We're all over the map on this for right. a moment here. So let's kind of bring it back to discussing an example with some principles.
Your example right. that you gave yeah. us.
So this random church, which I actually never...
Leave them nameless.
Leave them nameless because I never heard the name anyway. I just sure, heard this no, was happening. So...
But I've heard of a number of churches doing that.
Right.
So this is not. Yeah.
So if it is a very intentional, reverent, very like they're using specific elements. So they're not just bringing in like a Ritz cracker and grape juice or grabbing whatever you can find quickly in your house. If it is given by the church, it's made available for the members to come pick up, you know, and then during the service that is going to be on this particular Sunday where everybody is aware this is happening and you're not just like. Doing it whenever throughout the week you feel like comfortable or you remember and you have time, when it's all being done together, I think there is an aspect of unity that can be achieved even though you're not physically present. Because let's be honest, especially I'm thinking more back toward the beginning of this COVID quarantine era. So it's especially when there was so many legal limitations of how and when and where you could meet, they did the best that they could. And I think there is, you know, allowances for that, especially when we don't go into the understanding that this is the new way of doing things and this is going to be the new normal, you know, especially when you're coming to the table, figuratively speaking in this sense, even if it is at your home table, you're coming with the understanding that even though I'm not physically sitting next to my brothers and sisters, we are all united in spirit. The Lord sees us all and he is present with us because of the Holy Spirit, and in him we are united. That spiritual attitude adjustment that I talked about, if that's happening, and then you're remembering Christ and all that he's done, you're agreeing and confirming the work that he's continuing to do in your life, and you're once again using this opportunity as to fix your gaze onto when he's coming back and all the things that are to come in the future, that's really what I don't have a problem with, you know. But then if, you know, we were talking about like Steven's example or the Oreo and the Sprite, I think that's something it lacks the reverence. And then if you're lacking reverence and you're lacking intention, then why really are you forcing the Lord's Supper so hard, you know, when you can't gather together and do it right, so to speak?
Yeah. And some caveats that you gave that are much different than some examples that I've seen was it was delivered to members. Two members, saved, baptized members of the
also,
local church. So that's a big caveat that you mentioned that is unique to that example that you gave. The only kind of question / pushback I would have would be, and I love that you said it's descriptive, not prescriptive. That's the best thing I think that you said about that is like, this is in the height of the virus when things cannot be done. And I hear that. I think that that's very good. I still would have one question of just like, how are you keeping each other accountable? And how is there accountability here that this is being done in a reverent way, that this is, and obviously, well, the Holy Spirit's inside of all this. Okay, yes.
Thank you. But there's a reason for church leadership that keeps
people
accountable.
But there is a reason for church leadership of serving and presenting it.
Yeah.
And I believe that pastors have been given the responsibility of shepherding, and thus they present the elements. And deacons can serve them. I mean, that you can find evidence of that throughout church history and whatnot. And I think that that's fine. But there is an accountability there of a pastor serving and presenting the elements in a gathered together place and there being accountability of other believers. Because something we never brought up with the Lord's Supper was... That's one reason why it's an institution of the church, is because it's to keep each other accountable. So if I know that Morgan or I know Aaron is living in abhorrent sin, but nobody else in the church does,
yeah,
I should be calling that out as a fellow believer. I should. Mm-hmm. We have been given to edify and keep each other accountable. And that is one element that's lost in that. Now, could it be done in a descriptive manner? Maybe that is done well. I mean, sure, maybe, but I think that, those would be some questions I would have as far as keeping the accountability there.
Yeah. My question would be, why not just wait?
Yeah, I mean, that is another question. But
why not just wait?
Especially for churches that had the habit of doing it. So, sorry, I almost blinked my contact out.
No, it's okay.
Crazy things happen behind the scenes. I think for churches that are in the habit of doing it so frequently, don't you think that, I'm just going to pose a question to your question, don't you think that could bring a detriment to them for going extended periods?
I'm asking them, why are they doing it frequently, and what do they believe about what's taken place? I mean, going back to the church tradition, though, for a minute, depending on where a church would land on their understanding of the supper, what is happening in that moment. I think what you're saying, maybe for people who observe like a memorial thing and just to say, we're just remembering that, I think your example works well. It really struggles with the others, mm-hmm. Because it struggles to understand, wait a minute, there is something happening in this moment that the church is responsible to facilitate, to be involved in. And I think the question, that we said earlier, that I think we come back around here, it's not a question of how. I think it's really an understanding of what do you believe about a church leadership or structure. Mm-hmm. I mean, because in the Catholic Church, to receive in Mass, you have to go forward. Mm-hmm. It's not just like passed around and you just like pick it up, but no, you go forward. Well, why is that? There's a reason for that.
When honestly, it's some good things that we maybe could have kept from the Catholic tradition.
I believe going forward
for the Lord's Supper is a great thing. Because
so what is that?
I think it's an aspect of accountability, like what you're talking about.
It's accountability, but it also shows that you are taking it seriously, reverently, and that you've examined yourself, and you're in a worthy state.
Right.
And so
mm-hmm.
you're going forward to receive from the church leadership, the ones who have been given the shepherding responsibility. And obviously we would differ from the Catholic Church in what we believe a shepherd looks like. However, the principle is still there and why they go forward.
And in front of your fellow believers.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, there are some aspects there where I just say, man, I don't know how you get around some of that.
Yeah.
I personally don't. And I think it's, once again, like, yes, you may not hold to that line of tradition, as you think about these things, but there are other things at play in each of those, traditions than just simply the, elements themselves, right? And so, specifically in both of those traditions, why were they done frequently? Well, because there's an aspect of, in their instances, a means of grace that is being received, as the church. And isn't that coming back around to the question that we all were talking about at the very beginning of the episode about like, man, if you see this happening so infrequently, like that should not be. This should be a partnership. And I think the other thing I would just say is go to the word koinonia. That word koinonia is a deep fellowship. It is this deep belonging, and there is this strong sense of accountability. There's this strong sense of sharing in those things, even sharing in the bread. I mean, it's just so much of that I say, I don't know. I guess I push back against that because I struggle with that.
Like, I'll give you an example. The only way that I would personally be comfortable with any type of virtual communion, any type, just personally, would be if it was delivered to the members, right? To each member. And then it was led over Zoom, where we could see each other, interact with each other, and keep each other accountable.
That'd
and
be
even
cool.
That's almost next to impossible because how do you get that many people on Zoom? But do you get my point?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that would be my biggest pushback, is there is no accountability. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I would not be comfortable personally with just like, hey, we're going to take it on our Facebook Live service this morning. That would really personally just make me uncomfortable because it's like, well, we're sidestepping a lot of what the Bible has said about communion, what church history has given us about communion.
I think,
and
exactly.
So like, that would be the only way and that I would ever personally be like, let's do communion virtually. And you could do it. It would just be a little tricky. And maybe that's something that one day, if things all just come back around and everybody's in quarantine for 15 years. Maybe that's something that we would have to look at. But that is kind of like the example that I would give.
No, but you said that well. I think it's in an effort to try and achieve that, we sidestep other things that we're not thinking about what we're sidestepping. You know, so in an effort to achieve, well, we were able to do this. Well, what did you lose to be able to do that? And I think that is the question. And that is a question that a local church has to ask. Once again,
and answer.
And answer, you know, so it, once this all goes back to the responsibility of a local church, and in keeping with our beginning part of the series, you know, so much of these things need to be really worked out in a local church, you know, and so how does the leadership of that church best come to the understanding of how they are going to facilitate these type of things in their setting, in their location, all the while keeping true to the Word of God. Well, guys, as we kind of wind down here, any last thoughts for today?
I love how communion or the Lord's table or the Lord's Supper, whatever you want to call it, how it's just gotten so much sweeter and more beautiful to me as I've gotten older and as I've started to really grasp and understand, like, what a privilege it is to participate in, first of all, so freely and openly. And second of all, just with recognizing my own unworthiness, yet Christ, through his sacrifice for me, calls me to that table and he says, like, come and dine with me and I'll dine with you. And just knowing that this is just a picture of what is to come. Every time we do communion now, I literally get so excited because I'm like, this is just, it's such a beautiful thing. And I'm so grateful that the Lord has grown my understanding and, yeah, just my eagerness to be a part of this and to really just keep, you know, pursuing Christ and participating in this with him.
Yeah.
That's cool. Stephen?
I think Paul wraps it up. Eat your supper at home. Remember Jesus. Confess his name. Check your heart. Be reverent.
Yeah.
And I think Paul does a great job in 1 Corinthians 11 and just hitting
even
us.
It makes me say something like Paul saying, hey, you go do this at home, but when you come to be together, there's something different that happens here.
He literally says that.
Yeah.
And so I think he just knocks it out of the park there. And I think that's the best. I mean, that's my parting shot would just be Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 11.
You know, what I take away is just remembering that the Lord's Supper affirms God's commitment to our deliverance. And, you know, we talk about so much today, our responsibility or what we as the church do, but we didn't hardly ever talk about what Jesus is doing, you know, and the one thing Jesus said in the Gospels is that he would not drink of the fruit of the vine until he drank it with us in his kingdom. And so to me, that's just like, wow, like that Jesus, oh yeah, we're doing this in remembrance of him, but he's not doing this because he's waiting until
it's a sign of his covenant,
and a sign of his commitment to our deliverance, to our salvation. And so what a promise is that? I mean, that's awesome. I think that's something we should think about as we observe the table. Thank you for listening to Where We Land, Christ, Culture, and the Church. Listen, if there's anything you've heard us talk about on the show today that you'd like to know more about, we'd love to hear from you. So send us your thoughts, questions, and feedback by sending us an email at podcast@whereweland.org. On our next episode, we'll be considering the leadership of a local church. So we hope you join us here next time.